It's not exactly breaking news that Israel is at the forefront of startup innovation. Coined Startup Nation, Israel has been a driver of technological innovation and disruption as far afield as oncology and behavioral health to cybersecurity and silicon processing chips, as well as many others. Recently, Israel's innovation prowess has surfaced in a new industry, smart mobility. When you unpack the components of the autonomous vehicle of the future, LiDAR, sensors, computer vision, V2V or vehicle-to-vehicle communication, navigation and mapping, driver data collection and optimization, advanced driver assistance systems, Israel boasts at least one, if not more, startups that are solving the challenge. The mobility community in Israel first rose to prominence with the emergence of Better Place in 2007 and its ambition to reinvent electric vehicle car charging. While Better Place's demise was unfortunate, it did lay the foundations for Israeli entrepreneurs to start thinking about mobility. Google's billion-dollar acquisition of Waze in 2013, followed by Intel's acquisition of Mobileye in March of 2017 for over $13 billion, were further jolts to the system. From a meta perspective, if Detroit and Henry Ford launched the automotive industry in the US, it is not an exaggeration to say that Israel, among other hubs, is doing the same for the smart mobility industry. How does a country with the population and size of Israel that is slightly larger than the state of New Jersey create an ecosystem that has successfully emerged as a hub for smart mobility innovation? Today on Raising Your Antenna, we will chat with Orly Dahan, Executive Director of EcoMotion, a week-long event in Tel Aviv that brings together the innovators, entrepreneurs, engineers, the C-suite of OEMs, investors, and public sector officials that are partnering to move the smart mobility industry forward. Orly's insights into the nature of Israel's smart mobility ecosystem, as well as the drivers of its growth, is definitely worth a listen. Back with Orly in a bit.
You're listening to Raising Your Antenna with host Keith Zackheim.
Orly, good evening to you.
Good evening to you.
Thank you. It's afternoon here, but good enough. It's great to have you on Raising Your Antenna, and thanks for joining us from Israel.
Thank you for hosting.
Before we begin to peel back the onion on EcoMotion, please share with our listeners your career journey and how you arrived at EcoMotion, where you are the executive director of one of the most exciting global mobility conferences and exhibitions.
Well, thank you for the lift up there. So transportation wise, I've been in the field already for 13 years. I started in the Air Force in the room of missions of an F-16 squad. And then I was commander of corps teaching new soldiers my position. And when I finished the army, I was recruited to operate a private aviation fleet, which was super cool. And after I did my BA in business, I majored in information technologies. And when I finished my degree, I was actually the first female entrepreneur in the EcoMotion community, which I founded, co-founded Blitz Motors. It's electric motorcycles.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, super cool. Very exciting journey. About 4 years ago, I sold my half, and my prior position, I used to represent the Israeli transport sector in the European Commission and in Europe for joint R&D, and that was also very exciting. And then this office merged with the Israel Innovation Authority, and they moved to a place which is far away from Tel Aviv, which was harder than I thought for me commute-wise. I felt like I needed an autonomous vehicle to take me to work. and since we're not there yet, but I did fall in love with being one for many and kind of supporting the whole community. It was clear for me that it was either EcoMotion or the Fuel Choices, which fund Zacamotion on the government side. And Synchronicity made it happen. Exactly one out of two people in the Zacamotion team back then was going for a relocation. And I was recruited as community manager and 4 months later nominated to be the executive director of Zacamotion. And yeah, I've been here for 2 years now.
That's great. So the mobility world then, I know, is happy that your career winded and ended up at this conference. And, you know, I like to joke that if one wanted to, they could spend their entire lives traveling the conference circuit and visiting both exotic and less than exotic, maybe, cities and countries. And this is certainly true of the mobility, auto technology, and smart city industries. Although the mobility industry is relatively new, a cottage industry of conferences have definitely cropped up. Zacamotion, which now also includes what I think you guys cleverly referred to as a road trip to London, Paris, and Munich, has quickly risen to the status of a must-attend conference. How have you been able to differentiate from the other conferences? And why are industry insiders, and I hear it all the time, clamoring to travel to Israel in the spring and attend Zacamotion?
Well, I think that in difference with other conferences, as you call them, we don't look at it as actual a conference, but as the main event of the year. We do a lot of things all year long, but this is kind of bringing everything to one big main global event. So if all year long we have specific meetups around specific subjects and, you know, networking dinners and hackathons and challenge competitions, this is the time where everything comes together and everyone comes together. And this is where high-level business is done in a very grounded atmosphere. So we're not so much about, you know, it's speakers, CTOs, and all the speakers who are coming are very well respected and very interesting. But mostly people are coming to engage on a very grounded level, drink a beer, and get to know each other. And I think this is what's cool about this event, where you have like very high level executives meeting actual founders. At the startup exhibition, this year we're going to have 130 startups. And there you see not the marketing teams as you would see usually. You actually meet the founders, the CEOs, the directors, and the people who are actually working on the technology and developing it.
Right. I mean, obviously there's nothing wrong with marketing people as I'm part of that community, but I get what you mean.
Not at all. I'm just saying that you're actually...
I'm joking with you.
It's technology to technology based oriented. It's very business to business. So also on the audience side and the participant side, it's less for people who are coming to see the next gadget that's coming out and, you know, technology enthusiasts. It's more for people who are actually working in the field and who have a mobility position in some way.
So it's technical for kind of the engineers of the conference, but also very business focused for, you know, the C-suite at both, I guess, on the investor side, on the startup side, as well as the OEMs and tier ones, I guess.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's great. I know the conference is growing every year. And, you know, my company, Antenna, sends a few people there as well, and we found it to be really productive. The Israel mobility technology ecosystem is second to none. And that's not my opinion. I think that's at this point, you know, what insiders seem to feel. And that includes Silicon Valley and Detroit. And Israel's a country with a population of less than 9 million, a landmass of 8,019 miles. So, you know, in comparison, its population and land size is relatively similar to the state of New Jersey. Right. And I live in Jersey. I love Jersey, but we don't have a mobility technology ecosystem. So to what do you attribute Israel's prowess in this industry when judged by demographics, resources, and even geopolitics? And, you know, it shouldn't be in this enviable position by any standard. So why is that?
Well, I don't think that the an ecosystem is something that just happens. Zacamotion, this was the main goal when we were founded in 2012, to start creating this thing. We wanted to support startups throughout their lifetime, but we understood that they don't grow within a void. So what we need to do first is start to bring together all the relevant entities to create this community, which will become and provide a support system for this, whether it's investors, government officials, municipalities, industry, service providers, and start to bring them together and create this ecosystem to help growth. And I think this is something that supported a lot. In 2012, also, no one was speaking smart mobility or smart transportation. So that was a big thing that helped create this. And in any case, Israel is grand and, you know, startup nation and innovation. I think that it's a lot about the ability to always find solutions for challenges. And always to find not only the solution, but how do you optimize the route to it and how do you make it more efficient? And it's always something that is thought in a lot of fields. And specifically right now in mobility, a lot of technologies that are needed in order to create this autonomous vehicle and this new mobility as a service are technologies that Israel is leading in from different places, whether we were talking about LiDARs and sensors and optic visions, AI, machine learning, all these things are things that are already very well developed here. And there's a lot of knowledge. So now you can see a lot of entrepreneurs also that are creating startups that this is not their first round. They have already done a startup in telecommunication and security and even digital health. And now they're becoming relevant for the automotive world or mobility world.
All right. So I guess what you're saying is the technologies that undergird this, you know, smart transportation, mobility industry, you know, are just kind of new applications of technologies that have already been innovated in Israel. You know, I think also another thing just to push on this a little more is, you know, one would expect that, you know, in countries like the U.S. and Germany and South Korea and Sweden, countries that have, and obviously Japan, where they've been at the forefront of the automotive industry for generations now. So it makes sense why those countries would invest, you know, resources into the next generation of automotive, in this case, autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles, et cetera. But, you know, beginning with Better Place, you know, 15 years ago, you know, Israel's been doing this and trying to push the frontier of what mobility will look like. So, you know, again, I understand the fact that, you know, maybe the underlying technologies have been in place for a while in Israel. Now there's a new application. But can you just reflect a little bit as to the challenges maybe of not having a mature, developed automotive industry in Israel, and yet still being able to innovate in a way that's made you a world leader?
I think that's the advantage and the opportunity, not the challenge. Because once you have a very well-developed industry, people are very set in their ways. I had meetings with people from very old school industry. You know, they lay back on their chair and they're like, oh, you know what? I've been in the field for 40 years. You can't really surprise me. And I'm shocked because I get surprised every day. I get surprised every day with a new startup, a new innovation, a new platform. And, you know, there's so many more layers to be developed that the opportunities are endless now. And I think that because we don't have all these huge factories that are used to creating vehicles in a specific way, we are able to kind of look at it from a different angle, if that makes sense. If you look in a lot of industries, every industry that's digitalizing right now, who's taking over is technology companies. If you look at the Nokias, which is now the Apple, if you look at, you know, even the Kodak, which is now the Huawei, and all of these industries that that were before very set in their ways are now becoming technology companies. And I think OEMs and tier ones understand that. And this is why there's a great opportunity for collaboration and synergies. This is why they come. They want to engage. They want to interact. They understand now that, you know, because of the long procedures and the bureaucracy and everything, they need the fresh new startup with the outside look to bring some new ideas to the table and, you know, to engage with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, so it you know, legacy businesses sometimes, you know, have disincentives actually to innovate and transform their businesses. So yeah, I mean, I guess that's the creative destructionism in economics that, you know, new innovators will come in and change models and innovate technologies. And so that makes a lot of sense. You know, Orly, from your perch at EcoMotion, so you have a fantastic perspective on the larger trends in the mobility and smart mobility business community in Israel. And one of the things that I've noticed and has been pointed out is while Israel is a leading innovator in various technology spaces, the business model tends to be that companies will do their R&D in Israel and then find overseas OEM or tier one partners for testing and pilots, and then sell to OEMs and tier ones, and not really building what I would say are, you know, larger you know, businesses and enterprises. And is that changing, or is that just a model that makes sense in Israel because of the constraints around population?
Well, I think it depends on the founders. There are some founders that build to grow and some that build to sell. And, you know, we have some companies which are like SolarEdge, for example, which started with a small team with a great idea. And
I know SolarEdge really well. They were a client of ours for some time. And yeah, they're a great success story.
Great success story, and they're manufacturing globally, and they're also working on manufacturing also maybe in Israel, and they're growing their company. Of course, always you need to open offices abroad anyway, because when you want to sell to the global market, you need to have people on ground. And Israel, as the best as it is for me, it's not a market. It is though right now pushing to be the sandbox and putting a lot of efforts on that. Also for testing of new mobility services and autonomous vehicles and so forth.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it's sort of an example of, you know, because the ecosystem is not necessarily building large enterprises in the smart mobility space, so the OEMs instead are coming to Israel to be closer to the action. Can you reflect on this trend, and you know, how is the fact that OEMs, you know, the large ones, the Hyundais and Toyotas and Fords and what have you, are opening up, you know, R&D centers in Israel or you know, other types of offices in Israel, and how does that impact the smart mobility ecosystem in Israel?
Wow, it's doing wonders. It's doing wonders also to the community, because if before, you know, it was over the air communications, now we have people on ground here, which is amazing. And I think we're not yet realizing fully what will happen in the next few years. We have this slide where we show which multinationals have scouters on ground, which have partnerships, and which have real centers. And it's crazy the amount of logos on this slide that change from scouters to full R&D centers and innovation centers here.
What are some examples of recent you know, transitions into R&D centers?
So last year at the last EcoMotion main event, Connect created a campus here, which is the whole Volkswagen group. And their mission is to connect startups to all the brands. Since then, Hyundai opened offices. Daimler opened a year and a half ago. BMW just announced they're going to open this summer an R&D center here. For Russia.
And I know BMW inked a large partnership/investment with Innoviz. They've been very active in Israel.
Right. And I think this shows that they're happy probably with this partnership and they want to deepen that. And like I said, you know, how startups, even if they grow their teams here, they will still open offices to have people on ground where the market and the clients are. I think the opposite is happening here. So where the market and the clients are, they're bringing R&D people to be on ground here to develop the frontier of the line technologies that will eventually serve the global market.
Yeah, you know, I think friction is always something that's important for any type of development and improvement. And I imagine that actually mainly because of what you articulated before about OEMs having more of a legacy perspective on things and being a little more comfortable and risk adverse. And now they partner, and this is I know, a phenomenon, you know, between Silicon Valley and Detroit as well. But in Israel, you have, you know, these OEMs moving in and either making investments in companies or acquiring them or, you know, just opening R&D centers. And there must be some friction between the business models and innovation models of startups in Israel and those OEMs. Can you reflect a little bit on what you're hearing there and how that, I assume, is, you know, in the long run, at least, a huge advantage?
Regarding the business model between startup and OEM, I've been contemplating on it a lot, and I think everyone is. One of the panels that I want to have at this year at the EcoMotion main event is how to crack this triangle of OEM, tier one, and startup. Because, you know, OEMs, startups are actually running like all along to OEMs, so they know the technology and they have the request to the tier one, and they need to also be in contact directly with the tier one and the tier two maybe, and start, you know, also discussion with the fab if they're creating anything in that space. So there is a lot of the startups are actually running a lot right and left to find how is, you know, the best business model and who is the most relevant entity to close a deal with, in parentheses. I think we will see more innovation in these models to come. Also, I think that a new player is coming in, which is the insurance companies, which are also becoming a player at the table. Also, you know, insurance companies, they're the same as the industry. They're going to have to reinvent themselves and innovate in order to stay in the game. So they're also starting to come in. I don't know if you've heard, but a big Japanese insurance company called Sompo also opened an innovation lab here.
Is that around issues of data and collection of data and those types of things? Is that their angle, or is it just a new business model because of the nature of potentially fleets owning autonomous vehicles as opposed to individuals? Or
so a lot of driver behavior today. Also, we're doing a challenge with them. They have in Japan a big problem with elderly caused collision, elderly drivers. So we're doing a challenge competition with them to find technologies and startups that can minimize collisions that are made from elderly drivers. So all these type of things, bringing technology into solutions in order to enhance and optimize their business.
Okay. You know, you mentioned before some of the innovations and sectors within mobility that Israel's been a pioneer in, and optimization and demand balancing and machine learning, AI, simulation. There's another smart mobility industry, or I guess autonomous vehicle industry, that I think is super interesting, and that's connected services. And we'd love for you to unpack the connected services space, both in terms of what it is, as well as a sampling of Israeli companies that are pioneering that space. And then I guess the last piece would be, what's the appetite among the OEMs? And by the way, not just the auto manufacturers, but I guess, you know, the Googles of the world and the other big players in autonomous vehicles.
Well, you hit a really good point, because I think that in terms of developing the technology, a lot have been in the race for, you know, vision and in-cabin and cyber and everything. And everyone's still working on these POCs and integration of technologies. But one thing that has become very important to all is how do you make business today? And how do you start connecting with the passengers? Today they're drivers, tomorrow they're passengers. How do you keep them as a client? Because maybe, you know, today they own a vehicle, maybe tomorrow they'll use one as a service. And how do you already create this relationship between the OEM or the fleet manager or, you know, anyone who's operating? I think that connected services are going to bring a lot of advantage also. You know, OEMs, before they manufactured the vehicle, once it left the factory, it was distributed to all the local importers and distributors and then to the client. But the OEM, in the end, once it leaves the factory, they lose the connection with the client. Other than, you know, advertisements and things like that, and to give them the feeling. But today, with connected services, they know who is their driver, what is he like, or what is she like, what type of personality they have, and what other services they can give them. And I will give some examples. Let's say right now you're driving in your vehicle. Your vehicle will be able soon to kind of optimize your route for you, make in the errands or where to charge, like a startup like Make My Day, they do that. You have a startup called Enroute, which they say that people shouldn't even pay for the ride because people, while they commute, they shop online. So how do we make a personalization of like this shopping experience while they commute? And maybe if they shop enough, they don't need to pay for the ride. If you have vehicles for families or even for anyone, there's a startup called Mako, which can give you content while you're driving, doing this road trip. I don't know, even if you're doing this road trip and anywhere in the world, and they can give you information on what's interesting to you. Songs that were written in this area, art that was made here. History that has to the place, and then create kind of this journey experience. There's a lot more coming from the world, and I think also all the augmented reality, you know, being able to project that on the screens or shield. How do you call the front shield?
The windshield?
Yeah, the windshield. Sorry, I lost that word.
No worries. I mean, that's exactly it. I'm sure they're going to figure out a new word, a new technology for windshields. And you don't live in that legacy world, so that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And everything is going to be connected also in the vehicle, to the phone, to our watch. Even being able today to connect your Spotify to your vehicle is some sort of connected service.
Yeah, I mean that's. I think we're all already experiencing that, I'm sure there's a lot of opportunity. Once especially we transition from being a driver to a passenger, that's going to open up tremendous vistas for these types of connected services, because you know the whole issue of distracted driving goes away, and I'm sure there's lots of companies out there who are also working on what that passenger experience would look like and how to make that most efficient and optimized. And I know I've met some companies in Israel that are already thinking about those issues. And I'm sure all of these companies and all these issues will be discussed and featured at the conference. So maybe, you know, but before we sign off, Orly, if you don't mind, I'm sure you don't mind since this is your business. If you can give, if you can give a plug for EcoMotion, maybe speak to some of the highlights this year, and then also inform my listeners where they can get more information as well as register.
Yeah, so everything is on EcoMotionWeek.com, and this year we're growing from a main event to a whole week because we understood that the community needs more places for interaction. And as I said, like, the main event is this crazy event. Everyone comes, there's the exhibition and the main hall and the startup stage, and everything happens simultaneously. But, you know, it's always good to follow up on a conversation in a happy hour the next day, or even community wellness in the morning, yoga, or like a side event meetup. So this is something that we created for everyone this year. At the main event, there's going to be 130 startups. Applications for startup booth end on the 17th this week. And actually, we have 10 spots that we opened this year for the first time for international startups to apply and to come exhibit. And we fully subsidize the booth. Our goal is to have the best ones there. We have a main hall. The startup stage will have also competitions and pitching of sneak peeks into the accelerators that are going on right now. We have a whole space for a B2B meeting zone where everyone that will register now, a month before the event, will upload an app that will support everyone in creating more valued meetings for them. We're actually going to have a demo field which will demonstrate technologies and show, you know, remotely controlled vehicles, vision. You'll be able to see live how the vehicle is acting and what it's seeing on the big screen, which is super cool. And yeah, there's going to be a lot going on. We try and update as much as possible on the website. We are going to have this year for the first time a workshop hall where we're going to break down topics with partners like Deloitte, BCG, and Beyond 1435, take high-level topics like mobility as a service, the new autonomous vehicle supply chain, rail, break them down into five tables and define what are the challenges and what are their solutions that need to be deployed in the next year or two. And hopefully this will be disseminated with the community and globally after the event. And hopefully ministries and industry can use that also to support their decisions.
All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. And again, EcoMotion Week 2019 will be in Tel Aviv from June 10th through the 13th.
Right. The main event on the 11th.
Main event on the 11th, and then the EcoMotion Euro trip is May 13th in London, May 15th in Paris, and May 17th in Munich.
Right.
I think I got all that correct.
Yeah, we also have a meetup in Berlin on May 9th.
Well, Orly, you sound busy, and I appreciate you carving out some time from that schedule to speak with Raising Your Antenna, and I know that our listeners will appreciate your insights. And the last thing is, if they want to just kind of follow you and your content and your reflections on the space, is that just something, should they be looking at LinkedIn, Twitter? Where do you publish your stuff?
So we have EcoMotion Facebook page. We have a group called EcoMotion Global Community, where it's not about us talking to the community, but creating a platform for the community to interact between each other. We have on LinkedIn and Twitter, although Twitter is not as active. On all platforms, EcoMotion Global Community.
Fantastic. Well, Orly, thanks for the time and good luck with the conference. And we look forward to being in touch real soon.
Thank you. And I just remembered we also added an Instagram page last week.
Okay. Good. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you for having me. It was a great pleasure and a great conversation. It was fun.
Yep. Enjoyed it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And another episode of Raising Your Antenna is in the books. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and look forward to connecting again next week. Raising Your Antenna is a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, Keith Zackheim, that features the movers and shakers and key influencers of the B2B technology industry. Our guests are leading revolutions and disruptions in the mobility, clean energy, healthcare, and real estate technology industries. Raising Your Antenna is brought to you by Antenna Group, a full-service digital marketing and public relations agency that focuses on the B2B technology industry. Please be in touch with me on Twitter at czackheim with any feedback about this podcast. And check out Antenna Group at www.antennagroup.com if your organization is looking for a really smart and good-looking marketing and public relations partner.